Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We'll be here for another 25 minutes. Tim Wildman here with Steve Jordahl, who joins us now. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
Dr. Ray Pritchard, Ray's in Kansas City.
Hi, Tim.
Good morning again, Ray. Okay, we have got much to talk about this last half hour of the program. But first, let's go to, as part of our conversation here on topics, we'll go to Dan Steiner now, president of Preborn Ministries, and he joins us. How you doing, Dan?
Hey, Tim, Fred, Ray, blessed by the Lord today. Thanks for having us on.
Hey, man, where are you joining us from?
We're at the worldwide headquarters of Preborn, which is not a whole lot, but it's here in Indianapolis.
Indianapolis. The home of Vice President Pence, right?
Mike Pence is a man I've known for 26 years, and if we get a chance to him, I've got a great story on him, but he is as pro-life as you or I.
Give us the great story. We got time. Go ahead.
All right. Here you go. About 20, maybe 30 years ago, there was a guy by the that was a broadcaster on, I think it was called American Farm Radio or something. It was in Columbus, Indiana. And he had his own show. He was a political announcer, lawyer. And I was running the second largest nonprofit in the state, Christian nonprofit in the state, and handed me down his radio show for an interview on abortion. So I did the interview. And that announcer in Columbus, Indiana, which is Millersville, right, was Mike Pence.
Really?
I did the show with Mike. After the show, he said, "Hey, Steiner, you've got all these connections in the big city of Indianapolis, and, you gotta consider running for office. Use your influence." And I looked at Mike at that point, Mike Pence at that point, who was the farm radio announcer. I said, "Mike, why would I want to do that? Politics is the art of compromise by its very definition, and I'm a preacher of the gospel. It's black and white, and it's the word of life. Why don't you try it, Mike?"
And the rest, as they say, is history. When was that? When was that?
It was in the early 90s.
Of course, Mike Pence went on to become a United States House of Representatives member for many years and rose in leadership in the Republican Party, I think to number two, didn't he, or number three? Under Newt Gingrich, remember those days, I think?
Yes, and then the governor of the state of Indiana
and
took a firm stand on the things you fellas were talking about last segment, the LGBTQ-RSTUV stuff.
Yeah.
And took a lot of heat for that.
I'm watching him right now on the TV. He's at the White House with the signing taking place of the first phase of the China trade agreement. He's standing right behind President Trump. Let's talk about Preborn. American Family Radio has been working with you guys. What do you guys do, and what we are encouraging our folks to make a financial contribution to support your work?
Sure, appreciate that, Tim, and all that we have done over the last few years together in saving the lives of over 10,000 babies from abortion by underwriting free ultrasound. So our mission statement to Preborn is real simple. We're leading and equipping pregnancy clinics to save more babies and save more souls. So we're about earth and eternity, saving babies for life on earth, saving the mothers for eternity. We're evangelists to abortion vulnerable women. This is the distinctive of our ministry. Not only are we the strongest competition in America for the abortion industry, marketing in New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Miami, Houston, Dallas, Washington, D.C., we are the competition. We are underwriting, with the help of the listeners of AFR, almost every ultrasound that's given to a girl in those cities are underwritten by AFR and by other donors that help us supply these life-saving ultrasounds for free Now, if a woman comes in and she is most of the time, in fact, statistically 48% of the time, she's being pressured by her mother to abort, the grandmother, if you can imagine that. Another 42% of the time, she's being pressured by the boyfriend or husband to abort. So most of the time, it's not really her heart. It's extraneous pressure. And when she sees her baby for the first time, that first meeting, real-time ultrasound inside her womb, her God-given instincts kick in. And most of the time, she chooses life. And we're there with compassionate care after that.
Okay, so how much money buys what, and how can people make a gift? Because what you're talking about is directly saving the lives of unborn babies.
Yeah, it really is. 80% of the time or more, she'll choose life if she meets her baby in our ultrasound medical room. And a listener, for the price of a meal out, less than, could probably support an ultrasound for a woman, $28 supports one free ultrasound, $140 supports five free ultrasounds. And here's the unique thing about preborn versus a lot of other sponsorship organizations, is that we give 100% of that $28 or $140 to our clinics. We don't keep any of it. We independently fundraise for the rest of our support. And so you can rest assured that that donation made to AFR here will go to exactly what you are designating it for, which is to give the ultrasound.
So $28 will buy one free ultrasound,
yes,
and then you can $140 provides five free ultrasounds. Well, this is Sanctity of Human Life Month, folks, and we're going to keep on till God calls us home, proclaiming that abortion is the taking of innocent human life, and that these unborn babies do not deserve the death penalty through abortion. And that is, it's immoral, it's wrong, it's sinful, it's actually murder. So we're gonna keep standing for the pro-life message. Here's the phone number to call Preborn, that's the name of their ministry, Preborn. And you're hearing Dan Steiner, who is the president of Preborn. Are you the founder as well?
Well, the Lord is, but yep, I'm the one that.
Yeah, yeah. You're the vessel he used. I got you.
There you go.
All right. Here's the phone number. Does this ring here? Or does this ring your office?
That's your office.
Okay. 877-616-2396. All right, let me give that phone number again. You can call that number and make a donation. As Dan said, 100% of it goes to do exactly what we've just described. 877-616-2396. 877-616-2396. If you want to go online and read about it, make a gift there. AFR.net. Simply, AFR.net. That's our website for American Family Radio, AFR.net. Thank you, Dan. God bless you. Appreciate your work. And thank you for sharing that neat story about Governor/Vice President Pence. Appreciate it. Hey, did he have that white hair then?
This guy has had that silver hair when he was like 30. It's unbelievable. I don't know what the deal is.
It's silver. Okay, silver/white. I don't know. On TV it looks white, but silver hair.
It's probably getting more white by the hour.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it.
Blessings, gentlemen.
All right. All right, Steve, good morning to you, my friend.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
What do you got?
As you guys were talking about earlier, we're looking on Fox News. We're seeing President Trump standing on the podium in front of Vice President Pence and Secretary of the Treasury, Steve Mnuchin. And they're talking about the signing of a landmark, historic, these are adjectives that are being used, China trade deal. It is a major victory for President Trump. Who has been derided as getting into a trade war that's going to destroy, with China, that's going to destroy the economy, going to put China, some people have even said it's going to escalate to a hot war, but no. President Trump negotiated what is a really good deal from our perspective. It is going to be, it's a broad agreement that could have as many as three phases. The first phase, Beijing agrees to purchase $200 billion of U.S. products over the next 2 years. It says it will halt intellectual property theft and refrain from currency manipulation. In return, the U.S. will reduce tariffs on some products made in China, keep duties that the White House has imposed on $375 billion worth of merchandise. And the Dow Jones, on news of this, is up 150 or so points, now 160 points as we speak, well over 29,000.
Now, this is a phased-in trade agreement.
It
so
is.
This is phase one?
Yes.
How many phases are there?
As many as three. And I'm sorry, I don't know exactly what each one would details. I know the first at this point.
So are you telling me that President Trump got the Chinese to cry uncle on trade?
That's what it looks like, yeah. Mm. Now, it might not surprise you, you and Ray, that Chuck Schumer, Senate Minority Leader, is saying that this is a bad deal. It's likely, he says, to result in very little progress in reforming China's rapacious trade behaviors and could send the signal to Chinese regulators that the U.S. can be steamrolled.
Wait a minute, this is a bad deal. This is the same man who agreed with the Iranian nuclear deal that Obama
that
pushed?
That would be him.
So he knows a bad deal when he sees one.
He does, apparently.
Oh, my word. Well, you know, President Trump is, Ray, has been, ever since the first time I saw him campaigning, he's been mentioning, you know, how China was ripping us off. That's the way he would phrase it, and laughing at us. And so when he said when he if he became president, he would renegotiate trade agreements with not only China but other countries. But China's the biggest one.
And well, I'm sorry, Ray. And NATO dues and UN dues, all of this stuff he's been doing.
NAFTA. Go ahead, Ray.
Well, you know, the problem with China is they can sign an agreement.
Yeah.
It's the follow through. It's the verification. And to that limited extent, Chuck Schumer has a good point, because the Chinese have a way of saying they're going to do something and nothing really changes.
Mm-hmm.
But all things, you know, all things considered, this is a great victory for the president and for his team. And I hope there's enough teeth inside this agreement to force the Chinese to do what they said they're going to do. If so, it's momentous in its impact.
Yeah. I don't understand all that, how that works, but they say that China manipulates its currency.
Right.
They own a lot of U.S. debt. Dan Seeley would be much better on this than I am, but they own a lot of U.S. debt.
I think they quit buying it.
They might have, but they still own quite a bit. And they can, and their currency, the yuan, is a major player in the markets. And it's not a free market, so they can control the value of that. And as the value of the yuan goes down, it makes U.S. products cost less for them. We get less money and they get more. So it's a way to if they wanted to, they could really cause havoc in the world economy.
But why would they want to?
Well, at this point, they don't, because they're part of the world economy. I'm just saying, they're a major economy. They're a major player in the markets.
And they know how to jiggle. You know, they know how to jiggle the rates, and they know how to jiggle things, Steve,
so that
instead of it being an even Steven split, you know, they're going to come out on the good side. They're just very good at that. They're brilliant at it, in fact. And that's what the president's been talking about. And, Tim, as you said, it's extremely complicated stuff. But, hey, this is a good agreement. I'm glad we got it signed.
Yeah. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to buy tennis shoes.
That's right.
And we've got to have tennis shoes.
Well, I'm just saying, summer's coming up. Americans want tennis shoes.
Colin Kaepernick.
You find me a pair of tennis shoes. You find me a pair of tennis shoes that's not made in China.
That's right.
They don't exist. Go.
It's probably true.
Huh? They don't go look. Just today, Walmart or wherever you go. Right. Going to tennis shoes and look, let's see what I'm talking about. Now, I call them tennis shoes. That's what we grew up calling them. Some people call them sneakers, I guess. Depends on what part of the country you're in.
I'm not sneaky. I call them tennis shoes.
The way of, in the deep south, they just call them tennis shoes. T-E-N-N-Y, shoes. It's meant to say tennis shoes. But All right. Am I right, Ray?
You're right.
You grew up. Tennis shoes?
Tennis shoes. That's exactly right.
My mom bought me some new tennis shoes today.
That's exactly right.
You're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. What's the next story?
We got some movement on this Soleimani Iranian plane crash, this whole deal with Iran that's happening. So
that Trudeau.
Well, yes, that's part of it. Okay. A new video has surfaced showing that not one but two missiles were apparently mistakenly or somehow launched against this public commercial airliner that downed it and killing 167 people out
of. They shot it twice?
Two missiles, yes, and two missile hits. So the new video shows that. Before this, a little while back, you mentioned Justin Trudeau, the Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, along with some progressives and Democrats in this country.
Because there were 70-plus Canadians on board?
There were. There were families and students, a lot of Canadians on board this flight, so he has reason to be concerned about the investigation. But this is what he said about that. This is Cut 13.
I think if there were no tensions, if there was no escalation recently in the region, those Canadians would be right now home with their families. This is something that happens when you have conflict and war. Innocents bear the brunt of it. We attempt to work as an international community on big issues, but sometimes countries take actions without informing their allies.
Would you have preferred to have a warning?
Obviously.
That courtesy of Global News.
Warning about what?
Warning that we're going to take out Soleimani.
Yeah. What, did he want warning from the Iranians? They're about to shoot missiles in the air when our plane's going by?
Sure, he would have preferred that. Ukrainian
plane. This is ridiculous. That was pathetic. By the way, does he always talk like that?
What, the
quiet? Like Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah.
That's kind of him.
So.
Okay, well, nothing wrong with talking like
voice.
It. It's just, I didn't know if he was hoarse or
what. I think that's his voice.
Okay, yeah. Well, anyway. The point is that he's basically blaming President Trump and the United States for the Iranians shooting down the Ukrainian airplane where these 70 plus Canadians died. That's what he was saying, right? Is that what you got from that, Ray?
That's the implication, right?
Yeah,
if we hadn't taken out Soleimani,
innocents die when war is ratcheted up. Basically, is what he was saying. He was saying President Trump shouldn't have taken out Soleimani. That way, the Iranians would not have shot this missile.
What difference would advanced knowledge have made anyway?
Oh, he expects President Trump to call him and say, "Hey, we're about to shoot." By the way, I got 10 other leaders I need to call and let them know. I mean, that's what
What I'm saying is he went so far as to say. You know, these Canadian citizens would still be alive. And the Lord knows it was a terrible thing.
Yeah.
And we wish they were still alive. But what difference would it have made if the Canadians had gotten, because they only give advance warning, like a few minutes in advance. How would that even have been? What were they going to do? Call the airport and say, don't let the Ukrainians.
Don't tell anybody we know. But
no, it made no sense. Yeah. It made no sense unless he's saying President Trump owed him a phone call to tell him we're about to take out Soleimani. Is that the gentleman's name? He's not a gentleman.
I think that is what he said.
Qasem Soleimani.
Soleimani. So, President of the United States is not going to call the Premier of Canada and tip him off on what's about to. By the way, what's he supposed to do with that information? That is the Canadian Prime Minister. Is it Prime Minister?
It's Prime Minister.
It's a courtesy call, right?
Yeah, but you may call him post killing, but you don't call him.
Sure.
You don't call him before. Hey,
and it would have had nothing.
No
I don't
effect.
Think it would have impacted what happened at the airport in Tehran anyway.
No, and let me just say this too. This is what I don't understand, or I guess I do understand. Trudeau can't stand President Trump, so any dig he can take at him and. Basically, the feeling's mutual with the president. But why does Trudeau stop with President Trump taking out
Soleimani?
In other words, if you're going to say this happened because this happened because this happened, therefore this person's responsible, why didn't he take it a step further and say Soleimani murdered 600 American soldiers, therefore he's responsible for the Canadians that died and the Ukrainian plane was shot down. You see what I'm saying? Why does he just stop? Why did he stop there? Why? Because he can't stand President Trump, and he wants to join the leftists in America to try to make it the fault of President Trump that this plane went down.
That's what he's
trying to do there.
Right. Oh, okay, Steve, I want to ask another question here about this. These Canadians were on a Ukrainian jet,
Yes.
And it was taking off. Is that right?
It was taking off from Tehran.
Okay, first of all, who's running the show over there that they let a passenger jet take off in the midst of when the Iranians are firing their missiles at air bases in Iraq? Number one, who's in the control tower even letting that plane? Should never have been off the ground. Okay, the plane takes off, and now you've just said it got shot not by one but by two
surface-to-air missiles. Right.
Okay, what's really going on there? How do you? I could remotely picture this if a plane is coming in from somewhere, but a plane that's just taken off. Well, you have to know. What's really going on here, Steve?
Right. What I've read is that the way that the command and control is working in Iran right now is they have said that the people on the ground at the guns have authority to engage. The colonels or whatever officer level it is there, they don't have to call back to Tehran to get permission to fire and everything. So that's one thing. But the sites were being jammed. They couldn't call, but yet two different sites fired on this plane. You are not the only person, Ray, to ask what it was doing in the air at that point, why they were taking off. So the other piece of just strange...
For whatever the reason, it was Trump's fault.
Well, it was. The other strange piece of information that goes along with what you're saying, Ray, is that Iran is now going to The Hague, to the criminal court, to the court, the International Court of Justice in The Hague, Netherlands, and they're going to be filing war crimes charges against President Trump at the International Criminal Court in The Hague because he took out Soleimani. And the Business Insider, which is not a – it's a business newsletter. It's not really political – has two different experts saying, you know what, it's very difficult. They have a good chance of winning this because if they can, the killing of Soleimani posed an imminent threat to the United States, but the United States never produced that information. So
he's a terrorist. He killed over 600 of our soldiers.
And I would just say, so what? If The Hague says he's guilty of war crimes, so what?
Actually, that's probably what's going to happen at the World Court in Hague. They're going to side the Iranians.
Very well could happen.
Hmm. All right.
Crazy world we live in, right?
Yeah. But so I want to see the polling today. I'm just curious if there's been any change on the Democrat side, or is Joe Biden still expected to win in Iowa?
I can come in with that tomorrow.
Okay, I'm just curious. I don't. At this point, I don't see any of them being able to beat President Trump in a presidential election. But hey, things change.
I'll bet Joe is still in charge in Iowa
by a slight margin. But a lot of people, I was reading about this, even on the Democrat side, are worried about the slowness of articulation and the confusion that he's showing.
Biden is up by less than a point in Iowa.
Yeah.
He's up by less than a point or a full point in New Hampshire, and he's up by like 6 points nationally.
We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Have a great day.